The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. Good morning. Welcome to Age-Wise Living with Barbara Friesner. Barbara is here to keep you educated on elder care issues. She will give you the information you need to help your aging loved one and yourself. Now, here is your host, Barbara Friesner.
Good morning and welcome to Age-Wise Living, and thank you all so much for joining us today. I am your host, Barbara Friesner, and my company is Age-Wise Living, and I am a generational coach. And as a generational coach, I help family members, primarily siblings, but I help family members and we work together to figure out the core elder care problem and then the right solution. And then I coach them on how to communicate effectively with their aging parents so that everybody can work together to confront the issues and not each other. And as I said, I work with the family members, never the senior. But since all generational coaching is by phone, I work with family members all over the country, or all over the world. And we do it by conference call and we all work together so that they can help their parents. And I became a generational coach because of my own 25 plus years of personal experience as an elder caregiver, first for my grandmother for many years, and then for the past 17 years for my mother. And it's that personal experience that I bring to everything that I do with my company, Age-Wise Living. As I said, I'm a generational coach. I'm also an adjunct professor at Cornell University, where I teach senior housing management. I write a free weekly newsletter with lots of great articles about issues affecting seniors and their families, and you can find that at agewiseliving.com. I write a monthly column for the National Association of Baby Boomer Women and a monthly column for Caregiving in America, which is a monthly national magazine. And to help people avoid problems before they happen, I also do speeches and workshops all over the country. And I am the creator of the Ultimate Caregiver Success System, and I have two very special announcements about that. The first one is that in honor of National Caregivers Month and in honor of all you caregivers out there and for the upcoming holidays, the Ultimate Caregiver Success System is now on sale for $100 off the regular price. So that's pretty terrific. The second thing is because so many people have purchased the Ultimate Caregiver Success System because of recommendations from friends, starting today, you can actually make money for everyone who buys the Ultimate Caregiver Success System because of a recommendation from you. So starting today, you can join my affiliate program, and if you do, you can make 25% for every purchase of the system, that anybody that uses your affiliate code. To get all information about that, all you have to do is go to my website, and you can get information about the success system itself to purchase it or to become an affiliate. So you just go to agewiseliving.com. Again, that's agewiseliving.com. And I have this show, Age-Wise Living, because it is my mission to help as many family members as possible help their aging parents resolve their elder care issues by choice, not crisis. As I have said often, if you're caring for an aging parent, you know that all too often sibling issues can be more difficult than elder care issues. Helping an aging parent can be such a difficult and emotional thing for families. You know, all the mommy and daddy issues come up, and all the sibling relationships, and all the sibling role issues as to who has what role in the family, and all of those things come up. I mean, your siblings can be there for you like no one else, or they can drive you crazy and make everything harder. The sad part is, But just when families should be or are trying to come together to help their aging parents, elder care issues can often tear them apart, which I think is just so sad for everyone. And that's why I am so delighted to have on our show today Francine Russo, who is the author of the upcoming book, They're Your Parents Too, How Siblings Can Survive Their Parents' Aging Without Driving Each Other Crazy, which is a great title. And Francine Russo is a widely recognized journalist, known for her alertness to developing trends, especially in her own boomer generation. Keenly attuned to psychological themes, she has honed the intimate interview, drawing her subjects to discover and articulate their own deepest feelings, talents she mined in her appearance on Oprah and other venues. Her New York Magazine cover story, Live in Divorce, became an instant classic and was recently reprinted as one of New York Magazine's best stories of the last 40 years. Her in-depth New York Times Magazine profile of Hedda Nussbaum generated unanimous critical acclaim, and her pieces for The Atlantic sparked media debate and were widely anthologized. For nearly a decade, Francine covered the Boomer Beat for Time Magazine, and in 2004 established a popular niche, becoming Time Magazine's Boomer Expert in her regularly featured Ask Francine column. Francine has developed an enthusiastic following with her frequent articles in media like Redbook, Family Circle, Ladies Home Journal, and The Village Voice, where she was also a theater critic for over a decade. Sounds like a fun job. Her 2005 Time article, Who Cares More for Mom, attracted wide attention and was the genesis for her upcoming book. In 2009, she became a New York Times fellow at the International Longevity Center. A former college professor, Francine has spoken before groups, participated on seminar panels, and has appeared frequently on television and radio. Francine brings a rich history, a rich personal history, and a rich personal insight to her writing as a daughter, a sister, wife, widow, mother of two, and stepmother of three. She has a PhD in English and lives in Manhattan. Welcome, Francine. That is quite a resume, and I'm delighted to have you here today.
Well, thank you, Barbara. It's a pleasure to be here.
And with all of that, I say let's jump right in, because sibling issues are huge. And some people, I was very, very fortunate that I had a very close relationship with my sisters, and it worked really well helping my mother. But that's not always the case. So why do sibling relationships cause such big problems when all you're trying to do is help your parents?
Well, it's far more complicated than that. And I think that in order to understand what's happening with siblings, you have to look at it in the context of a new kind of family transition. I think of it as the longest family reunion in history, and it's anything but a weekend at the beach. The family comes together. I mean, think about it. The family has not been together, making decisions together, for maybe 30 or 40 years. In the old days, when we were kids, everybody had a role. Somebody was the responsible one, and somebody was the one who needed taking care of. Maybe Dad made the big decisions, and Mom was the glue that held the family together. But now, everybody gets together and somebody's missing. Maybe Dad is dead. Maybe Mom has dementia. And the old roles just don't work anymore. And so everybody is thrown into competing or being uninvolved. It's very, very emotional.
Yeah, and especially as baby boomers, because I think my upbringing is typical. We didn't participate in any of the decisions, not about what we had for dinner, not about where we went on vacation, not about certainly money or, you know, any of those kinds of things. So now we're put in a position of having to make decisions when that was never a thing that we as siblings did.
Well, families are different. I would say that every family is so different in its emotional life from the family next door. It could be as different as a family, a middle-class family in Iowa, from a family in Afghanistan. Every family has its own rules and values and ways of behaving. And at this time, not only is the family coming together, but all of the adult siblings are, we're going through one of our hardest emotional challenges as adults, which is going through the transition from becoming the children of our parents to becoming the oldest generation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's hard.
Yeah.
It's really hard. I mean, why wouldn't we want to be mature and grow up? Well, who wants to lose their last parent? Who wants to be an adult without a parent? And who can look at their parent's age and not be aware of their own mortality? Who wants to look at that? So there are many emotional pulls on each of the siblings, and it makes everyone overreact.
Yeah, and why is it so important to pay attention to the sibling relationships when the parents are the ones that are aging and they're the ones that have the need? Why? What do the sibling relationship issues matter? Shouldn't the focus be on our parents?
Well, on a practical level, you have to make many decisions together and take on many tasks, whether it's helping mom and dad, doing hands-on care, hiring help, or adapting mom's home, moving her to assisted living. All of this will be far more difficult if you or your siblings are acting out of your own struggles with each other, and especially if you don't realize what you're doing, and most people don't. On an emotional level, we need our siblings now more than ever. I've spoken to so many caregivers who have siblings, and their loneliness with their role is one of their hardest things. They feel that they're in it alone when they need their siblings to be in it with them together. Not only that, there's a lot of research that says that siblings can be a caregiver's greatest source of stress. But you don't have to read the academic journals to know this. Just ask anyone with an aging parent about their siblings. Some will say their siblings are a godsend, but others will just roll their eyes. And people say to me so often, oh boy, do I have a story for you.
Yeah. Yeah, and it is such a difficult thing because we do, not only have the relationship while we're taking care of our parents, but we also need to have that relationship later on. I mean, it's not something that you want to destroy now because later on, as you said, we're all we have. Now, with that, we're going to stop here for a short break. This is Barbara Friesner. You're listening to Age-Wise Living. And our guest today is Francine Russo. And when we come back, she's going to be answering lots more questions about sibling relationships. I also want to mention that to get more information about Francine and her upcoming book, which is called They're Your Parents Too, How Siblings Can Survive Their Parents' Aging Without Driving Each Other Crazy, go to www.yourparents2.com. That's yourparents2.com. Again, yourparents2.com. It's a great book. It's got lots of stories about brothers and sisters and tons of great tips. So that's the website is yourparents2.com. And while you're there, I want to tell you that you can sign up for a chance to get a free copy of her book, which I've signed up for, and you can also pre-order her book what I understand is going to be a really great discount. So while you're there, and there is www.yourparents2.com. And with that, we will be right back.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you struggling with caregiving responsibilities for your parents, in-laws, or other aging loved ones? Are you in an elder care power struggle with your siblings? Are you struggling to balance work and elder care and feeling you're losing control of both? Are elder care issues such as driving, finances, or maintaining their home costing you time, money, relationships, and peace of mind? Wanting to help an aging loved one is one of the most loving and compassionate things you can do. However, your help may not always be appreciated or well received, leaving you tired, frustrated, and overwhelmed. If this sounds like what you're going through, you're not alone. I'm Barbara Friesner, and I'm a generational coach, and I'm here to help you. To get started, just call me toll-free for a complimentary Get Acquainted conversation at 877-AGE-WISE. That's 877-AGE-WISE. Or go to my website, agewiseliving.com. That's agewiseliving.com to resolve your elder care issues by choice, not crisis. Call 877-AGE-WISE.
Go behind the scenes of what you see, hear, and read on the news. Learn the ins and outs of public relations on Stars of PR with Cindy R. every Thursday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time. Cindy Rakowitz is a Clio Award winner and founder of Rock and Roll Public Relations, who wants to share her PR experiences and knowledge with you. Learn how to handle a crisis, deal with celebrities, and become a terrific PR executive. Listen to the Stars of PR with Cindy R. every Thursday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time here on News Talk Radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
Amanda, age 3. Tyler, age 8. Marissa, age 4.5.
We could tell you just how many child abductions last year led to Amber Alerts, but this isn't about cold statistics. It's about saving kids.
Shaniqua, age 14.
To get free Amber Alerts on your cell phone, go to wirelessamberalerts.org. When an alert is issued in your area, you'll receive it as a free text message. Wirelessamberalerts.org. A child is calling for help. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain inspired really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to AgeWise Living with Barbara Friesner. If you have a question for Barbara, a comment or problem you wish to discuss on today's program, call in now at 1-866-472-5788. That's toll-free, 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to Barbara at agewiseliving.com. Now back to our program.
Hi, and welcome back to AgeWise Living. I'm Barbara Friesner, and today we are talking with Francine Russo. And she's answering all kinds of questions about sibling relationships, and it's just such an important issue, and I'm so delighted to have you here, Francine. And I have another question for you.
Certainly.
You know, it's a good thing that siblings want to help, but I've often heard caregivers say that I'm working so hard to make things good for mom, but then my brother criticizes everything I do, and my sister rearranges everything I've already taken care of, and you know, it can make it so difficult. And do you have any suggestions on how you can avoid that kind of issue?
I do. Here's where I feel a little understanding and mutual compassion can go a long way. The caregiver, you're working really hard in doing what you can, and you're very involved in what you're doing, but it could help a lot if you can understand what your siblings may be feeling. Your brother who comes and says, why don't you take mom out for a walk, when mom and dad don't want to go out for a walk and you can't make them, well, your brother is probably feeling anxious about mom. Maybe he lives far away, and what he feels is helpless. And he just wants to contribute something. Maybe he's also feeling a bit guilty too. So what he's trying to do is just feel like he's making a contribution. In my book, which is for all the siblings, not just for the primary caregiver, I tell the siblings to be very, very careful about how they offer advice and to be sure to show lots of appreciation to the caregiver, but most of all for all of you to understand what your siblings are feeling. There was a woman named Dottie that I spoke to at various points as her mother went to an assisted living, and then all of her sisters and her brothers were involved to some degree. Dottie lived nearby and she went often to see her mother. She was feeling very left out because some other siblings were the trustee, but she found a way to make a contribution, small things. She decided that mom could check off her own menu items every day at the home, despite what her brother said. And she felt that she could take the opportunity to switch mom's winter clothes for summer clothes. And she felt she was doing something. She felt good about it. But then sometimes her sisters from out of town would come, and they would go through Mom's drawers, and they would put everything in a different order. And at first she got very angry. I fixed it. Why are they rearranging it? And then later, as time went on, she said, you know what? Each of my sisters needs to feel important. She needs to feel she's helping Mom. And, you know, so what if they rearrange everything? You know, it's okay. Because she understood that it wasn't about they're criticizing me. I do say, though, that you can also tell your siblings how you feel about being criticized. Not like, I'm working so hard! How dare you criticize me? But rather, in a quiet moment, express your feelings and say, look, this is a hard job. I appreciate your wanting to make suggestions, but it's really important for me to feel appreciated and not to feel criticized. If you really have a constructive suggestion to make, please discuss it with me in a constructive way. Sometimes that can help.
Yeah, and one of the things I know that it used to drive me nuts for, you know, a lot of my childhood, that my father was so critical of me. And it was not until later in life that I said to him, you know, Daddy, it doesn't do me any good for you to tell me all the things that I'm doing wrong. If you want to help me, tell me how to do it better in the future. And say to me, Dad, say to me, Barbara, in the future, I recommend you do the following. I will take that a whole lot better. And I think really, and it made a huge difference. Huge difference, because he had to think it through too. And I think that that's really something for family members to think about, is that, you know, it's not you did this wrong and you did that wrong, but in the future I would suggest you do, because then I can balance the books better or something like that. So I think that also, you know, how they present it is also really important.
Yes, I think it's also important for caregivers to be a little bit open to what their siblings say. For example, if you're with Mom and Dad every day, you may not notice subtle changes, which over time can shock a sister or brother who hasn't been there for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that perspective from far away can actually be helpful, because maybe you haven't noticed that Dad's color has changed significantly, but your brother has noticed, and maybe there's something valuable in what your sibling is saying. It's just possible.
Yeah, so listen to it before you get really annoyed about it. And hopefully you won't get annoyed. But that really is a good point, because I think sometimes we get so close to it, you know, that we think, hey, if you have a better way of doing it, you come and do it. And it's like, no, I'm not necessarily saying that. So it's how you also respond to it as well. Now, conversely, if a sibling doesn't want to help, is there some way to get them to help?
Not always.
I see that a lot.
But more often than people think. This is a really complicated question. Sisters and brothers make many assumptions about each other that are based on outdated beliefs, like my brother's immature and selfish, my sister only cares about herself, etc., etc. Or they may be based on misinterpretations of what a sibling has said and done. So my advice to caregivers are 3 points. First off, ask yourself whether really, really deep down you want help. And you may think that this is a silly question, but people who work with caregivers, professionals who work with caregivers, often say that the caregivers really don't want help. They complain, but secretly they enjoy being the better child.
Mm-hmm.
And this may not be obvious to you, but I talk to so many people, and they were angry at their siblings for not doing more, but often they realized that they had discouraged their helping in a number of ways. By not asking for help until they were really angry and demanding help, which is not a good strategy for getting what you want.
Right.
Or telling themselves they could do it better, so they didn't bother to ask. Oh, I can do this better and faster than my brother, so I won't ask him. Or they didn't ask, but they hinted. One woman, for example, told me she would send her sisters in faraway cities articles about how hard it is to care for an aging parent. Well, what were these sisters supposed to do with these articles? She wasn't asking them to do anything. Were they supposed to feel sorry? What they actually ended up feeling was guilty. And actually, that's not terribly productive.
Right.
Second, you need to ask what you really want from your siblings. Do you want them to perform, be as specific as possible? Do you want them to perform certain functions regularly? Do you want them to come occasionally and give you time off? Or do you really not want them to do anything, but you want their emotional support? You want them to call you once a week and just let you vent about how mom's driving you crazy? Or you want them to show appreciation and thank you? So you can actually ask for that. And the last thing is you need to be realistic. If your brother cannot stand your mother, do not ask him to spend more time with her. Ask him to order groceries or to contribute money to pay an aide, to give you a break. Ask him to do something that doesn't fly in the face of reality. I remember I was so impressed with one woman who said to me, "I never expected my brother to be much help to me or my mother. My mom is a piece of work, and my brother can't stand her. So I said, listen, mom needs help. I'm willing to do everything, but I can't afford to pay for everything. Are you willing to send me a check every month?" And her brother said yes. And then over time, he started calling his sister more often, offering to help out, and she was amazed. And what she did was she started with the reality of who he was. She recognized it. She didn't guilt trip him and say, "You ought to feel differently. You ought to behave better." And so over time, he began to appreciate her efforts and to be responsive.
Yeah, and I think that is such a valuable point because a lot of times where there are serious issues between one of the children and one of the parents, the suggestion that I have is, If you don't want to support your parent for whatever your history is, and that's fine, I'm not telling you that you have to do that now, but I do ask you to support your sibling. You know, support your sister by doing the very things that you talked about. And to make that into something where, okay, you know, you don't want to necessarily do it for mom, at least do it for your sister. And I think that's a really important thing to do, too. Great suggestions. We're going to take another break right now. This is Barbara Friesner, and you're listening to AgeWise Living. And I want to remind you our guest today is Francine Russo, and she's going to be answering more questions when we come back. However, I want to remind you that to get more information about Francine and her upcoming book, which is called They're Your Parents, Too, How Siblings Can Survive Their Parents Without Driving Each Other Crazy. I just love the title of the book. Go to Your Parents Too, T-O-O, Your Parents Too. And it's a great book, lots of stories and tons of tips. And so it's Your Parents Too, and sign up for a chance to win a copy of her book while you're there and to pre-order the book because it's going to be coming out in like January or February, but if you pre-order it now, you can get it at a great discount. With that, we will be right back, and I'll talk to you shortly.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you struggling with caregiving responsibilities for your parents, in-laws, or other aging loved ones? Are you in an elder care power struggle with your siblings? Are you struggling to balance work and elder care and feeling you're losing control of both? Are elder care issues such as driving, finances, or maintaining their home costing you time, money, relationships, and peace of mind? Wanting to help an aging loved one is one of the most loving and compassionate things you can do. However, your help may not always be appreciated or well received, leaving you tired, frustrated, and overwhelmed. If this sounds like what you're going through, you're not alone. I'm Barbara Friesner, and I'm a generational coach, and I'm here to help you. To get started, just call me toll-free for a complimentary Get Acquainted conversation at 877-AGE-WISE. That's 877-AGE-WISE. Or go to my website, agewiseliving.com. That's agewiseliving.com to resolve your elder care issues by choice, not crisis. Call 877-AGE-WISE.
Think of the world.
50 years ago.
Now think of this same world and how it'll be 50 years from now. Did you know that if the world's population continues to grow at its current rate, our children and grandchildren will only have 25% of the resources per capita that our parents and grandparents had? We must preserve the foundation of a quality standard of living. That foundation starts with Go Green Radio. Join your host, Jill Buck, for Go Green Radio every Friday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Voice America.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to AgeWise Living with Barbara Friesner. If you have a question for Barbara, a comment or problem you wish to discuss on today's program, call in now at 1-866-472-5788. That's toll-free, 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to Barbara at agewiseliving.com. Now back to our program.
Hi, welcome back to AgeWise Living. I'm Barbara Friesner, and today our guest is Francine Russo. And she's answering all kinds of questions about sibling relationships. So here's another one for you. Are there especially good ways to ask for help? I mean, you talked about it in some ways, but are there pitfalls to avoid when you're communicating with your siblings, I guess?
Are there?
Oh, good.
And one of the biggest is something people may argue with me about, because this is a precept that is so ingrained in families, which I have heard so often. It's passed down from generation to generation as it's not in the Bible, it's not in the Talmud or the Quran, but this motto is passed down and people believe it, and the belief is, I shouldn't have to ask. And I say, if you think you shouldn't have to ask, well, think again. This belief is so pernicious in the caregiving situation. I have heard so many caregivers brought low by it, and it has caused so much trouble. So I beg you to think about it again. This belief implies that your sisters and brothers should read your minds and know what you want. That while they're busy leading their own lives with their own families in faraway places, they should know what you want. And sometimes maybe even you don't know what you want. You're not sure. Do you want them to actually come and help, or would that piss you off? Do you want them to call and tell you how great you are? Maybe that's what you want. So I say ask for help directly and be specific. The other thing is to be aware of your emotional tone when you're asking for something you want. None of us can hear the way we sound to others, so we're not sure what kind of impact we're having on the person we're asking. If you're angry when you ask for something, your anger is going to come through no matter how carefully you choose your words, and you're unlikely to get the reaction you want. So I say try, rehearse. If you have really serious sibling tensions, I say rehearse what you're going to say with somebody who's objective. Perhaps a geriatric care manager or another, or a coach like Barbara or some other professional. And there are even some professionals who will help you write your emails so that you don't piss off the very people you're trying to get to help you. And the last thing I would say about this, I alluded to it briefly, is to avoid making your siblings feel guilty. This is counterintuitive. You feel like if you make your siblings feel guilty, they will help you more. But in fact, guilt makes them defend themselves, often in angry ways, or avoid you. And I think of this sister and brother who really cared about each other. He was, in this case, the brother was taking care of the father and going to the old age home every single day, and his sister was living far away and was not that much in touch. One day, she went to his city for a visit, and he pulled out a file drawer just bulging with papers and documents and said, and yelled at her and said, look at what we deal with on a daily and weekly basis for Dad. Look at all we do.
Wow.
And then, did she do anything different 6 months later? Was she doing anything different? No. When I called her, I asked her about it, and she said, I felt terrible when I found out how much my brother was doing. I just felt awful. And I said, well, did you do anything to help him? She said, I didn't know what I could do. And I said, well, could you ask him what he'd like you to do? And she said, oh, that's an idea. And then it may sound self-evident, but when people feel really guilty, it often paralyzes them.
Yeah.
And especially when they're far away, they often just lack imagination. And that, but as we were talking, she said, you know, maybe I could fly in for a week and let him and his wife take a vacation, and I could visit Dad every day. And she felt, the odd thing is, when she got this idea, she felt really, really happy, because it relieved the load of guilt on her. And she called her brother that night. He sent me an email thanking me. She said, for the first time, my sister thanked me. And you know what? That's really all I wanted.
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing. And, you know, the funny thing is, I laugh when she says, well, you know, she didn't think of it. But the fact is that a lot of times you don't. You're so shocked. It's like, okay, you don't really know what to do. And the other thing I think is, you know, with the things you were saying, it really struck home is when you were talking about the emotional aspect of it, because so of the communication itself, because so often in people fighting, whether they're, you know, at work, whether they're at home, whether they're it's elder care or siblings or anything, they use terms like you always do X or you never do X. You never help. And then you get into, well, there was that one time. Oh, well, yeah, there was that one time, you know. So really thinking in terms of keeping the communication as unemotional, just, you know, just sharing the facts and making sure that the other person, you know, that you don't just sort of rev up the engines. But I so agree with you. And a lot of times we don't. We just sort of expect that they ought to know. And, of course, they don't. That's amazing.
There's also another side to the belief that you shouldn't have to ask. And in a way, it's even more harmful to the relationships. Some people feel I shouldn't have to ask because if my sister were a good person, a good sister, a good daughter, fill in the blank, then she would automatically know what to do. Therefore, she must be a terrible person.
And, of course, the sister is thinking, what a good person I am that I'm not interfering.
Well, that's part of it.
Yeah. So how can caring for parents be fairly shared by the siblings? How do you do it? How do you get everybody to do it their fair share?
Fair. This is a tough one. Life is not fair, and life in families certainly isn't fair, and that's reality. I think people have to give up the child's idea of what's fair. Everybody does the same. Typically, siblings and families have different roles. They each have different relationships with the parents. There's plenty of research that says this, but you don't need research to know that the child who felt like the favored child is going to feel more willing to help the parents. And it's also true, and this may be more subtle, that certain children are raised in the family to be the responsible one. And if they have a little sister or brother who's been raised to feel they're a weakling and they should look to other people to take care of them and lead them, that person is unlikely to step up and suddenly be behaving completely responsibly. Now, I don't advocate that people stay in their old childhood roles. Everyone's an adult now, and people can negotiate for what they want, but it will never be divided equally. And people should take into account the kind of relationships their brother or sister had with the parent. Like that person I told you about, that woman who said, my brother can't stand my mom, so I'm going to ask him for what he can give, not for what he can't give.
Right.
I also think that people should not oversimplify. There's a when somebody is working really hard and they need help, people tend to oversimplify and assume that they're totally in the right and their siblings are wrong, they're irresponsible, they're bad people. I cannot counsel enough that people are compassionate to each other's point of view, because it comes back. If your sister or brother feels that you understand their point of view, they're going to be more willing to help you, and you will get a lot more cooperation. So I say give up your shoulds. The should, my brother should do this, my sister should feel this way about mom. And, you know, if you adore your mother and your sister does not, there's just no way you're ever going to make that happen.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, too, that not appreciating other people's lives, that there are going to be people who are just, you know, they don't have the time. They need to consider other ways of participating, but it's not about, I visit mom three times, therefore you have to visit mom three times. I put in $10, therefore you have to put in $10. I mean, fair does not necessarily mean equal down the line, too. So I think the point that you made about doing what you can do, and for some people it's going to be more, and for other people it's going to be less, but I think that is really critical, and for the siblings to really understand it.
What people have told me is that they feel good about what their siblings are doing if they feel their siblings are somehow in it with them. They're connected, they talk to them, they give them emotional support. That's far more important often than whether they take on some of the actual work.
Yeah, and I was so lucky with my sister, because my mother would only let me do a lot of the work, a lot of taking care of her. But the support I got from my sister, as far as just being a sounding board and understanding and being funny when I needed someone to take some of the heat, you know, out of my brain and that sort of thing. I mean, that was just so important to me. I could do the rest of it if I had that with that kind of support.
Yes, and people also do understand that some people have more family responsibilities than others. It's very common for the person who does not have children in the house, say, and has siblings who do, that person will be the one to take on mom, or a person who doesn't have a demanding job. And that's, you know, that makes sense. But what I urge all the siblings in the family to realize is that it's a family responsibility, even if one person does all of the work, and the family needs to be in it together.
Yeah, and I think that is a very important point. And with that, we're going to stop again for another short break. This is Barbara Friesner. You're listening to Age-Wise Living, and you're listening to Francine Russo, who is talking, giving us lots of terrific information about sibling relationships and how to make them work for elder care. And to get more information about Francine and her upcoming book, They're Your Parents Too, How Siblings Can Survive Their Parents' Aging Without Driving Each Other Crazy, all you have to do is go to yourparents2.com. Again, that's yourparents2.com. And while you're there, sign up to win a free copy of her book and to pre-order. And again, that's yourparents2.com. And we will be right back.
News. Opinion.
Can you hear me?
Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you struggling with caregiving responsibilities for your parents, in-laws, or other aging loved ones? Are you in an elder care power struggle with your siblings? Are you struggling to balance work and elder care and feeling you're losing control of both? Are elder care issues such as driving, finances, or maintaining their home costing you time, money, relationships, and peace of mind? Wanting to help an aging loved one is one of the most loving and compassionate things you can do. However, your help may not always be appreciated or well received, leaving you tired, frustrated, and overwhelmed. If this sounds like what you're going through, you're not alone. I'm Barbara Friesner, and I'm a generational coach, and I'm here to help you.
To get started, just call me toll-free for a complimentary Get Acquainted conversation at 877-AGE-WISE. That's 877-AGE-WISE. Or go to my website, agewiseliving.com. That's agewiseliving.com to resolve your elder care issues by choice, not crisis. Call 877-AGE-WISE.
How many of us haven't felt ripped off at one time or another? Don't you wish you had someplace to tune in for the answers? Join Jennifer Litwin every week on The Shop Cop. She'll take the time to explain real value and keep you away from the fraud that's out there in the shopping world. Jennifer has become the shopper's advocate, which means she can get you on the right track. Her guests are a who's who in the retail world. Don't get caught making a mistake in this down economy. Jennifer Litwin is here to help. The Shop Cop, live Thursdays at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Variety Channel.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to AgeWise Living with Barbara Friesner. If you have a question for Barbara, a comment or problem you wish to discuss on today's program, call in now at 1-866-472-5788. That's toll-free, 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to Barbara at agewiseliving.com. Now back to our program.
Hi, and welcome back to Age Wise Living. I'm Barbara Friesner, and today we're talking with Francine Russo, and she's answering questions about sibling relationships. And one of the questions that I hear a lot, that a lot of people are talking about, and that's denial. And what can people do if their siblings are just in total denial about mom or dad's conditions or needs? How do you help them?
Well, first of all, if it's at the beginning, when mom or dad is first starting to get old and need some help, I would say be patient. And it's also very hard to get an accurate read on what the reality is. How's your mom really doing? Is she still safe at home? Is she just getting forgetful, or is she starting to have dementia? Does she need help, or are you interfering and helping when she doesn't really need it? There are a lot of obstacles to figuring out what that reality is. As far as your siblings, a parent's mortality awakens some pretty scary things. Maybe your brother or sister still needs your mom to be the parent and refuses to see how old she's getting. On the other hand, maybe you're so scared about losing your dad that you overreact every time he hiccups.
Mm-hmm.
Then another obstacle is distrusting the messenger. You're telling your brother some objective reality, but he doesn't believe you, partly because he thinks you've always been a hysteric or a complainer or had a hidden agenda. But I would say don't freak out because your siblings don't get it. Chances are they'll catch up. You know, question your own perceptions too. Are you overreacting? But then also consider that you and your siblings may be getting different information. Mom or dad, very often parents hide symptoms. You may be more aware of them because you live closer and you can see what's happening. Parents often tell different children different things. So your brother and sister may not, you know, get the same information you're getting. So you can pool your information. The other thing is that it's important to get a professional assessment from a physician or a geriatric care manager, and to have that professional tell all the siblings. I spoke to a doctor at the Alzheimer's Center in Los Angeles who said he either calls every sibling into the office or puts them on a conference call and says, listen, this is your dad's diagnosis. This is how he is now. This is the expected trajectory of the disease. This is what we need each of you to do. That professional can cut right through the sibling issues and a lot of the denial. But dementia poses very specific problems. Pauline Boss is a family therapist who's written about ambiguous loss. When a patient has dementia, they're here and yet they're not fully here. It's ambiguous. How present are they? Their body is here and some of their mind is here, but not all of it. And it's variable. Some days they seem really with it and other days they seem blank. And it's very hard for their children to deal with the ambiguity. And so what people do is they just decide, okay, mom is present. I can still see that look in her eyes every time I come. She's here. And that person's brother says, she's gone, and begins to grieve for her. And so it's very hard for siblings when they each accept a different truth, but in fact, it's okay. The siblings I've met who have gotten along best are okay with the other person having a different truth. And it helps them get along much better.
Yeah, and that certainly is true, is having a different truth. It's difficult, though, when one says, I believe that mom is fine, and the other one says, I believe that she has dementia. What do you recommend that they do? Because if she's fine, that's great, but if she has dementia, that's a problem.
Well, this is where it's important to make sure mom gets a diagnosis, has a doctor, look at her, and speak to all of the children. A professional, and also perhaps to get a geriatric care manager or social worker or coach involved and deal with the objective reality. I know a lot of professionals will send written reports to each of the siblings saying, this is what's going on this month with your mom, this is her condition, this is what she needs, and it's true that despite that, some siblings will come and visit mom and she'll be having a good day and they'll say, mom's not so bad off. But as long as they can get together and do what needs to be done, that's the important thing.
Yeah, I did the last two radio shows were all about dementia and, you know, talking about comparing the notes. And so, again, going back to the original question, which is why it's so important for siblings to work together and for them to talk to each other, because really a lot of times you only really know what's going on when you compare notes.
Yes.
I do have another question for you. There are a lot of times when, and I've seen this, I saw this with my mother, where they will kind of play one child off against the other, and in an attempt, I think, to keep everybody away, they'd sort of make it not about them, but about the siblings. So, you know, do you find that parents make it easier or harder for the children to get along? Because it sometimes feels, because I know, I believe they do it on purpose in many cases. But what is their role, and are there things that parents do that the siblings have to be alert to?
There certainly are. Some parents have a lifelong strategy of pitting the siblings against each other, not consciously, but they adopt a divide-and-conquer kind of strategy. So that what typically happens when they're old is you go to visit your mom, and she says, oh, your brother called me 3 times last week, and when you've only called once. And when your brother goes, she praises you and does it in a way that fosters competition. Another thing that happens with older parents is as they start to become more dependent, they feel very vulnerable. And they're afraid they won't be taken care of because they have to depend on other people. So they often will ask the same things. If they have 5 children, they may ask all of them, for example, when they visit in the assisted living, to buy them a pair of bedroom slippers. So each child buys a pair of bedroom slippers for mom, and then she only wants to keep one. And the siblings feel annoyed with each other. They feel annoyed that they have to return the slippers. And four of them wonder, why did she keep Susie's slippers? Because she likes the blue slippers better or because she likes Susie better?
And you know what? I am so sorry to have to cut you off. That's all the time we have. The time went so fast, and I'm really sorry to do that because I think you have been a great guest and lots of great information. And I guess we're just going to have to buy your book because so much fascinating information. I want to thank again my guest, Francine Russo, for being here and remind you that to get information about Francine and her coming book, They're Your Parents Too, go to yourparentstoo.com. I also want to remind you that starting today in honor of National Caregivers Month, all you caregivers out there, and enter the holidays. The Ultimate Caregiver Success System starts on sale today, $100 off the regular price. And starting today, if you join my affiliate program, you can make $25 for every person who purchases the system with your affiliate code. So to get lots of information about the Ultimate Caregiver Success System and to purchase it or to become an affiliate, go to agewiseliving.com. I want to remind you to tune in next Tuesday, November 17th, because our topic is a great one. It's about senior living communities and everything you wanted to know. So I had a great time today. I want to thank you all so much for listening. And until next week, this is your most appreciative host, Barbara Friesner, saying have a terrific week, carpe diem, and seize the day.
We appreciate your joining us for AgeWise Living with host Barbara Friesner. Please tune in again next Tuesday morning at 7 Pacific, 10 Eastern, here on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.